All right, guys. I'm Tarek. I'm an addict.
Tarek.
As you listen to tonight's speaker, ask yourself the following questions. Did I ever think like that? Did I ever feel like that? Did I ever drink or use like that? Do I believe this program can work for me too? So now I'm going to introduce our first speaker. This young man was brought into my life about 6 weeks ago. Walked up to me after a meeting, asked me if we could do some work. Had him come over and talk to him, and he reminded me of myself at 2 years sober, the dog with a bone, just wanting to see what was on the other side. I don't know. He's got that thing in him that wants to seek, He said something that really fascinated me, and it was the main reason I decided to work with him. He said whatever he was experiencing and had experienced in his surrender was something that was done through him. Like, he couldn't really claim that he was making all the decisions to be moved that direction, in that direction. He was being compelled by another force. And when I received the description that way, I was just very attracted to it. And so that's why I'm working with him. And he's done everything I've asked him to do. And I'm excited for you guys to hear this message from this young man, because a lot of young people don't have the passion this kid has. So maybe it will be contagious, because we need more young people that have a fire like this. So with that, I give you Chris.
My name is Chris. I'm an addict.
Hey, Chris.
Just got 20 minutes, so I guess kind of starting off, you know, my sobriety date, November 4th, 2015, and, you know, acquiring that sobriety date, there was a lot of stuff that had to go in between that right before it, and, you know, I was thinking to myself and kind of sitting on, like, you know, this beginning of, like, what started all this, right? And, like, the earliest memory I ever have, like, going through this is probably being, like, 6 years old. And, like, I guess to the best of my ability, knowing I have some kind of consciousness in my surroundings at this level, like, I truly remember from the earliest age my life truly being controlled by fear, you know? I remember, like, when I was younger, I could never sleep. Like, I never sleep. I always hear what noise is over there, what's going on over there. I watched a, you know, 2020 special about an axe murder of my parents, and, like, now I can't sleep because I'm afraid somebody's going to break into my house and go ahead and try to kill me in my sleep, you know? And I always remember these thoughts just racing uncontrollably all the time. I go watch this movie that has this character in it that's awfully scary, and I go ahead back, and I just remember having to be, you know, consoled constantly by my parents, and I... You know, that going on for such a long time, I mean, experiencing some of these, you know, the bedevilments the book talks about at such an early age. And, you know, the earliest memory I have is, you know, I think I had an allergy at one point, like, of going, something like that. And I remember my mother gave me Benadryl, like, when I was really young. And, like, I didn't know anything about it. All I remember is, like, it made me fall asleep awfully quick. You know, and that was the one thing I ever wanted, like, out of that night, like, is just to be able to fall asleep in peace, because, you know, it's not that I wanted to stay up, it's just, like, I had this mind that, you know, kept me up constantly, controlled by fear, nothing but. And so I remember she gives me this pill, and I remember the first time, like, having that experience and saying, well, I put this in my body, and this is the reaction that I have, and, like, I'm able to go to sleep, and, like, that fear seems to be dense and lessened at night. So I remember, like, kind of going from there. I remember after that point, always, like, finding an excuse I can to, like, have my mother be able to give me that. And, like, I remember the one thing my father always telling me is, like, he's like, no, we don't do that. I was like, okay. I'm, like, young, and I was like, why? And it's like, my dad was smart in this area and said, you know, I can see how that can, like, be placed as a dependence. And I'm, like, 8 years old, and I'm like, what is he talking about? So I remember from that point on having this idea that I can put something in my body and I can have this reaction, I can have this effect produced, and it can do something for me, like, just from this small little pill. And skip up a couple years from there, and, like, you know, every experience I have, like, being able to take Tylenol PM whenever I can, like, you know, being able to do that was just fine, probably, like, 10 years old. And I remember, you know, I had no prior knowledge of, you know, drugs. I was in all these programs, DARE, all that kind of deal, and, like, all I knew was they were bad. And I ended up drinking the first time, like, with some of my friends. Like, we had a pool house with, like, all this liquor stashed away. So we get this vodka, and, like, I think I was acting drunk when I took it, because I think my sister probably watered it down more with her friends, and we were mostly probably just drinking water at that point. So we got the last of it, and that was my first experience with alcohol. But, you know, I always remember my mother having migraines, and, you know, I remember she was prescribed painkillers for this, and I didn't know what they did. I just heard everybody in school being like, you know, kind of the edgier kids I like to describe, to like I kind of always wanted to be, you know what I mean? Like, I aspired to, but could never quite get there. And, you know, and so they're telling me, it's like, you know, these Vicodin, you know, whatever, they do this. And, like, I don't know what they do. So all I know is, like, I'm, like, 11 years old at this point, and, like, I find a chance to, like, steal some out of my mother's purse. And, like, I take this substance, and, like, immediately, like, this fear, like, all this stuff in my life, because from there on, when I mentioned the bedevilments, like, I had a lot of those pre-existing in my life before I even knew it. Like, you know, being a prey to misery and depression, not being able to control my emotional nature, having trouble in personal relationships, problems in school, whatever, and, like, family, all that kind of deal. And I remember I take this substance, and it finally has that effect produced. Like, has this effect so well that all those fears melted from me. You know, I could feel like I could control myself, and, like, it was at a family event, and I was like, I can be around everybody right now and be just content and just be okay with it. And, like, I was like, this is how I would like to feel all the time. In every circumstance and every sequence of my life, I want to feel like this. Like, when I felt that, because I felt like I was covered by this warm blanket, and, like, nothing, all those fears, nothing could hurt me. I was so well protected. And, like, so anyways, you know, have some more experiences. I smoke weed for the first time, and I have this feeling at this point, like, all this time in my life, all these people are lying to me, because I smoke weed and nothing happened. You know, my face didn't fall off, none of the stuff they said and dare, like, none of that shit happened. And so I kind of, like, start to explore this experience, and I'm like, along with the same lines, like, this is cool, I can put this in my body and it has this effect. And, like, I noticed, but the one thing I noticed out of anything is, no matter what anybody had, like, I would always go to opiates. Like, that was my deal. Like, yeah, there was some contentment that could be brought out of other substances, you know, whatever, like, speed did the deal, like, whatever. But I always remember that my one thing that always just got me was opiates. And any chance I could go and seek after it, I was going to go do it. You know what I mean? And so, for anyways, kind of fast forward a little bit, like, when I start to see this stuff become a problem in my life, I'm eventually, like, 15, and I'm skipping school, like, almost every single day. And, like, I turned 16, getting some trouble with, like, the law at this point, because of, like, having weed at school, and, like a few other charges, like, you know, brought a knife to school, and, like, you know, was, like, doing some inappropriate shit with, like, girls in classes and stuff, and, like, you know, got in trouble for that. So those are some of the first consequences surrounding that. And going on from there, like, I remember, like, I started to steal from people, started to do whatever I could to get this substance, get this effect produced, because, like, this is the one thing that ever brought me any kind of contentment in my life, any kind of thing where I could just feel normal and okay in my own skin, and feel like those fears could diminish, and, like, you know, those worries and all those personal relationships, like, my emotional nature, I could be just fine. And I felt like I was your best friend, and I could be amongst everybody with you, and, like, I didn't feel like such an alien to this world at that point. So kind of fast forward a little bit more, like, my first experience, like, about 16, 17, we were running out of having to pay pills that were for pills that were $1 a milligram. So somebody suggested something cheaper, and that something was heroin. And I remember somebody hearing about a couple friends introduced me to this idea. It's like, oh, well, we're putting this in our arm. I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that. But finally, no, get talked up. And I finally experienced this. And the first time I experienced this, like, it was like that bliss all over again that I experienced for the first time, you know? And I was like, wow, this is the next level, you know? This is absolutely the next level of what I need to do. And it brought me to this place to where that craving and that, you know, in my body, like, became completely paramount to every other aspect of my life. Family, friends, school, at that point, school. And, you know, people in my life around me who, like, were trying to, like, do nothing but help me, support me. Like, I had a family who, like, you know, bought me a car. And, like, I used that car just to go on, like, drug escapades and pick up friends who were, like, willing to take me. And nobody in my life at that point was a real friend. They were all commodities that I could use to get to an end game. Pawns in my little chess game that where I could move them around appropriately to where I could get to this place where I wanted to be. And that was just kind of the way it was. And I don't think I felt any remorse or anything at that time because, like, you know, again, that effect produced being paramount to all other interests in my life includes the feelings of others, unfortunately. So kind of go on from there, and I have some first consequences presented out of that. And what happens is I think a couple of my friends one night were being sneaky, or like think we were, whatever, and I didn't have any caps or any needles, so I threw these needles in the garbage can, and you know, I remember my stepmother, I heard my dad screaming from downstairs after a long bender one night, and the story gets told to me that she goes to take out the trash and goes pet the dog, and she swings the bag behind her back and gets stabbed in the back of her thigh with like four of our needles. And so, like, I go outside, and, you know, he's screaming, and she's just like, I don't know if I have any diseases now. I'm just like, no, trust me. You don't have anything. You can trust me. Don't worry about it. You know, so she had to go to the hospital and, like, get tests done. And, like, that was truly the first experience I've seen my using actually have, like, an effect, like, on somebody else's life. You know what I mean? But it didn't deter me, you know. Of course, I made signs of myself acting remorseful. It's like, oh gee, you know, I guess I better really do something about this, you know, and like kind of given this way, given into what I think they wanted me to look like and be appear as remorseful at that time, which almost made me feel sociopathic. But so I go into my first experience with treatment is I agree to go, like, again, not out of any, like, willingness or, like, commitment to do it, but just kind of, like, get people off my back so I can get a place enough to enough trust to where I can finally start getting money to where they won't really, like, be in my ass as much. And get there, go to this outpatient treatment program, and they start talking about, you know, AA and this deal. And, like, you know, I've been such in, like, a pseudo-spirituality due to copious amounts of psychedelics. I'm, like, telling them what about God is and all this stuff, the collective consciousness, this and that, chakras, whatever. Well, no, I got it all figured out. It's okay. I've already read these books. And so, I don't know, just a complete, like, I guess the best word is probably indifference to what they had to say. And I was 18 at the time, so I didn't think really much was going to get through. So those weren't bad enough. And then finally, I get out of that treatment program. Everybody, it appears that I'm doing well on the external level, right? Girlfriend's back in my life. You know, congratulations, you got 30 days. You know, mind you, I was also taking a sketchy supplement that I found at the store. You know what I mean? That, like, had a different effect going on that, like, 30 days. I'm like, that's fucking great. Sobriety's awesome. You know, I can kick this thing. Going to these meetings and, like, sitting there, like, falling asleep and all this deal. And, like, so so that kind of disintegrated. What's supposed to was, I remember, because I know I was doing kind of well, and, like, I felt like I was doing well. But I remember one night, what was supposed to be, like, a few beers and a few Vicodin, like, led me to, like, turned into 2.5 years at a methadone clinic after that. You know, what was supposed to be just a small amount, it's like, no, it's all right. Like, I'll just get that little buzz, like, tonight, and it'll be good. And, like, I remember, like, just from that 30 days that I had sober, you know, everything went to shit that night. Like, that very night. I didn't believe them when they said how progressive it was. Like, right at that very second, as soon as I put that substance in my body, just from my perspective, a bad shit was happening to me. But, like, I know I'm the cause now, and, you know, it's like we couldn't find a place to go. Nobody's let us stay that night. I was driving in oncoming traffic, and, like, I couldn't stay anywhere, like, and having people fighting at this place. And, like, I remember just how unmanageable my life looked just from that very second. So, needless to say, I started to get back into heroin again. And I remember my dad finds these needles, like, in my drawer one day. And, like, I'm pretty bad off, like, you know, at this point, like, you know, I'm just, you know, saving up the stuff, like, shooting water and all this deal, like, just living out in my room. And I, like, look up the stuff online, and I was like, you know what the problem is? I think I just have, like, a natural deficiency of endogenous opiates and opioids in my brain. So, like, if I just have a steady supply, like, all the time, Like, I think I'll probably just be content with everything. And, like, I truly believe that. And I was just like, well, let's go to this Suboxone place, whatever. So we go to this place who's willing to put me on Suboxone. They talk to me, have me do these groups and all this deal. And I'm like, yeah, the Suboxone's really not doing it. You know, maybe it's not working. Maybe, like, I maybe be more deficient. I hear methadone's pretty good. So I get on this methadone maintenance treatment program, and I go there the first day, and, like, something, you know, just didn't feel right, but, like, at the same time, it was, like, everything I could have wanted to, like, have a consistent supply of this, like, feeling every single day, and, like, feel like I was doing well on the outside, which, like, I didn't really give a shit about, like, other than making people think I was. And so I get on this methadone, and, like, as soon as I drive out of this parking lot, like, I have to hold my, like, one of my eyes open, you know, just driving. And I remember right from there on, it spiraled out of control, like, just, and I can't tell you how long it took, because there's parts that I missed and I don't remember. And I just remember the place that it ended me up with. Like, I remember the place of, like, me breaking up my girlfriend, or, like, just so many unmanageable moments of, you know, our fighting, screaming, arguing, you know, fights with family members. And me eventually just living in this room by myself, you know, with, like, trash bags everywhere and, like, pissing in bottles. I'm too lazy to go up to go to the bathroom. And, like, you know, just convinced that, you know, there's reptilian pedophiles that are controlling my every move, you know, and all this insane shit. And, you know, it's just in a bad place. And I just remember wanting to die so badly, just to be free of this pain, just to be free, because it didn't matter how much methadone I took anymore or what I was doing. It just wasn't working anymore. Like, because I was able to, like, still feel again. I was so convinced that I was going to get that same effect produced that I did when I first started. Just so convinced. And I remember I was attempted to kill myself at one point. And I remember writing this letter and having this on the desk and, like, feeling like I'm just a thorn in the side of humanity. And it'd be better for me, for my memory, to be mourned by my family instead of having to always bring up that embarrassing son that just fucks up every funeral, fucks up every wedding, fucks up every family event, you know? And so I write that, and, like, I have this, what's so weird about the situation is, like, I remember going upstairs with enough drugs, I know it's going to do the deal, probably, you know, two or three bottles, something like that, of, like, my methadone take-homes and, like, you know, a bunch of benzos and all this deal, and I'm like, this is what's going to do it. And, like, when I finally, I remember after this, like, you know, like, experiences people have with, like, being abductees, like, they have missing time. This is the only way I could ever describe the situation, is I remember walking upstairs to go ahead and do it, and, like, I just have missing time surrounding that, being fully convinced of my intentions. And I don't know where I ended up after that. And I got to this place to where, you know, I don't know, some people started, some weird, strange turn of events started happening in my life. And I remember, like, you know, regardless of, you know, I remember my dad putting a Bible, like, on my table. Like, and always, you know, and, like, I, like, read a few things out of it, and, like, you know, something just started to change. And I remember there's all these lonely nights where I just, like, kind of just start crying and bawling my eyes out, like, all over myself, and, like, just thinking to myself, like, what the hell have, like, I become, like, what have I done, you know, with my life? And, like, it'd be very fleeting, but I remember those moments. And I remember the one thing that ever changed, like, the first stricken act of humility I've ever felt was when I was just feeling in such an intense amount of pain. I just remember getting on my knees, and, like, I was so convinced, like, I didn't even think about God at this moment, but I just remember saying, God, like, just please help me. Like, you know, it wasn't a foxhole prayer, like, if you can get me out of this, like, I'll go ahead and do this. Like, no, just please help me. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, literally. And, like, I don't remember what compelled me to get on my knees, whatever. But so a strange, again, turn of events happened to where, you know, I end up, you know, telling my dad at one point, I was like, I don't have anything to live for after the many nights of, you know, telling him I have a shotgun around my, like, necklace around my neck and all this stuff. And, like, just remember the one thing him saying is, like, you just have to jump over this barrier, like, you'll get through it. And I was so convinced if I could just get off methadone, if I could just get off this fucking liquid handcuffs, everything would be all right. Like, I'd be okay. And I don't know, something bigger struck me at that moment, because all this point, all this fighting that I've done to, like, try to, like, convince people that I wasn't an addict, to convince myself that I could live a manageable life on methadone, like, that I could live a manageable life on my own in general, just kind of got stripped from me. And it wasn't any, like, conscious effort I made to, like, strip that from me. It was just, you know, my dad comes to me one day and is just like, hey, I've looked at some treatment places. Fine. Do it. Whatever. Okay. This is when you're going. Okay. Whatever. And, like, that fear of, like, getting off this stuff that swallowed me for years of, like, what if this place doesn't open up at the time? What if I get to the methadone clinic? Like, whatever. It was, like, it just, like, didn't matter anymore. Like, I just, like, I guess I don't want to call it apathy, but, like, I just didn't care, you know? And so I ended up at this treatment facility. They said I was too crazy to kind of stay there because I had to go to the psychiatric unit because I was coming off methadone, benzos, and alcohol at once. And, like, they were like, you need to go here. And I start detoxing off methadone. I still remember this state of, like, myself saying the Lord's Prayer every night. And, like, I finally get through these treatments. And, like, man, like, just being moved through this whole entire deal, like, without any kind of, like, me fighting it the whole time. We go to some AA meetings, fine, try this. I get a sponsor, you know. And it's so weird how everything happened, like, just so in sync to where, like, you know, I start doing these steps and I notice that, like, I don't have that obsession to, like, drink or use anymore, like, in general. And I guess just, I don't know, man, like, these things have been placed in my life so perfectly, so well, that I can't call it anything but God today. Like, these turn of events of, like, me going through the steps, me having the sponsor placed in my life by these weird means, and, like, me going back through the steps, and, like, me having this fellowship around me, me having these people in my life, and, like, you know, me having this relationship with, like, my Creator today because of it, and, like, that, just that obsession being removed is just, like, the bottom part of it. It's, like, the best thing in the beginning, but, like, being able to, like, somewhat be, like, comfortable in my skin today, you know, being able to, like, actually feel, being able to actually, like, be around people and not be like, oh, what are they thinking about me? What is it going on? What is going on? You know what I mean? Like, for the first time, being able to just, like, look up the sky and be like, you know what? Like, you know, it's going to be cool. And, like, that feeling that I've always wanted that I first found and stopped working out of those opiates, like, experiencing that today by putting the spiritual program into application, like, on a daily basis, like, and into my life by, like, doing stuff with, like, prayer, meditation, like, you know, rekindling relationships with other people, putting my trust and faith and dependence in God, working with other guys and, like, seeing that change happen in them. Like, it's an experience that, like, they told me I wasn't going to want to miss out on it. And, like, I fucking truly believe that today. And, like, I wouldn't change a thing about whatever happened. Not, like, one single bit, not one pain, not one fear, not one hurt. Like, because, like, again, like, it all added up to, like, where, like, what's going on today. And, like, I believe that Creator that I, like, have today was working in my life way long before I knew it. So, anyways, thanks for letting me hear me speak tonight.